Welcome to the Opposition Research Podcast here on HawkeyeNation.com. My name is Andrew Downs. Each week I'll find a beat reporter, blogger, or broadcaster that covers Iowa's upcoming opponent. If you have a suggestion for who I should talk to in a given week, or if you have questions you'd like me to ask, you can find me on Twitter at Andrew C. Downs. Let's get to this week's game. Iowa hosts Nebraska on Black Friday at noon. The Huskers are 1-3, coming off a loss to Illinois. Iowa, of course, is riding a three-game winning streak. My guest today is the sports director at KLIN Radio in Lincoln, and he is a buddy of mine, Caleb Henry. Caleb, thanks for the time today.
Hey, what's up? It's Iowa Hate Week. Oh, I don't get to say that on this one. It's other places I get to say that. It's Nebraska Iowa Week. That's what this is.
Is that a real thing, Iowa Hate Week? I mean, how is this rivalry perceived in Nebraska, or is it not even considered a rivalry?
No, it's definitely a rivalry. That's not even a question. But would it be like the game gets done on Saturday and so the week flips to Sunday? It's not like what was going on in the Big 12, where it's okay. It's Texas Hate Week.
Right.
It's Oklahoma Hate Week. It's Kansas State, Missouri, Colorado, like that's not the case. It's Iowa week, but I don't think there's not a hatred, but the way social media has gone over the last couple years, and deservedly so, because Iowa's been dominating this series, and especially the more game-winning kicks you can get from Duncan, who turns and kisses to the crowd, and are you not entertained? Those kinds of things make a rivalry better. And it is a rivalry here, and there are some blue hairs who are going to say, nope, our only rivals are Oklahoma. It's like, okay, dude, that's not what the case is. But yes, this is a significant game. This is a red ink circled on the calendar game. And the way 2020 is going, this game means much more to Nebraska's season. Like, Iowa wants to win some stuff, but right now this Big Ten West thing looks like Northwestern's running away with it. This game means a lot more to Nebraska long-term than I think it does to Iowa.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and we'll get to some of that stuff here in a little bit. We'll go back to last Saturday. It was a tough game against Illinois. From what I saw coming out of Lincoln yesterday, it seems like the team thinks that the problems that were exposed on Saturday are fixable, and maybe even fixable in a short week, and they don't expect Iowa to have the same kind of success on the ground that Illinois was able to have. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. I think the big part is Nebraska has given up so much quarterback run over the course of this season. And I know Iowa doesn't live with the quarterback run outside of 4-yard quarterback sneaks. If you want to do that for 80 yards, I guess that would work. but the running game, now, as much as the players may have said that they don't think what Illinois did is going to be the same product from Iowa, Iowa's run game worries me as someone who's watching this game, because Nebraska's run defense has not been fantastic. Nebraska, the Blackshirts, back-to-back games giving up around 500 yards. Like, that's you give that up a couple of times, and luckily Nebraska won one of those games, which is amazing. And that happens to be the winless Penn State game.
Yeah.
You called it tough this last week. The word I used was embarrassing. Tough is like the nicest way anyone has described this last week. Started on the very first play. It's actually a forward pass when he's past the line of scrimmage, and they call it a fumble. Don't even review it. Big Ten officials, as much as anyone wants to complain about that, especially over the last week. Sorry, Purdue. But the game did not go well in any aspect, and the coaching staff and the players said that they were low energy last week. And gosh, that's more worrisome than players just not executing, is that you can go an entire week of practice after a win and players not be focused and not have energy. From what we heard on Monday is that the energy is back up and they're laser focused, but like that is more worrisome than anything that can happen through execution and scheme, is if the players, especially this team that fought so hard to get the season back, is not locked in halfway through. And taking on this Iowa team, like, there's a reason that Iowa's a double-digit favorite after Nebraska got reverse-covered by Illinois.
Well, and then the mustaches will help, too, I'm sure.
The mustaches are going to help. Look, a not-serious answer was given to a not-serious question, and you would have thought that Cade Warner had, like, spit on Tom Osborne. It was like social media, and rightfully so, from like opposing fans. Like I see the Iowa media jump on that, of course, jump on that all day. See other Big Ten fans jump on that, of course. That's a great thing to take away from an opposing player's press conference. But the amount of Nebraska fans that got so upset and said, well, maybe try winning, maybe try doing this. And it's like, you can do two things at once.
Yes.
To grow a mustache, especially for guys that age, if they, especially like a guy like Cade Warner, who grows a beautiful mustache, like that thing is righteous. For those kinds of guys, okay, what do? You just don't shave for a week. That's fine. Like, you can still do all these other things, but the Husker fans are a little out of control right now in 2020, and I think it's a lot of folks are on edge because they're used to getting to some bowl games, and right now, one win away from just another consecutive losing season.
And you know,
for one loss away, I guess.
Yeah. As you said, all you have to do is not shave. Maybe it gives you extra time to prepare for Iowa. You know, you don't have those 45 seconds in the bathroom each morning. Another thing that came out of Lincoln yesterday is that Scott Frost, or at least what I saw, says he hasn't named a starting quarterback for Friday afternoon. Who do you think we're going to see under center to start that game?
Logan Smothers. No, if Logan Smothers shows up, then fantastic. You heard it here first. But no, it's going to be, I really think Luke McCaffrey is going to start under center. Adrian might come in a little bit sooner. That was something that was really perplexing against Illinois. We were certain that we were going to get Luke for the second straight week. I mean, the guy gets his first start and you go out and you win the game, even if things didn't look great in the second half against Penn State. Nebraska going into the Illinois game had scored 6 total points in the second half through 3 games. Like, that's not great. Added a touchdown against Illinois, so you already improved that this last game. But we knew we were going to see Luke against the Illini. It was Adrian Martinez not showing up despite 3 interceptions and a fumble to start the game. So 4 turnovers for Luke McCaffrey, and we didn't see Martinez until the very last drive of the game. And then Martinez threw a touchdown pass, which was the team's only 2nd touchdown pass of the season, which I know Iowa's got a like god awful numbers passing touchdowns this season too. So you guys know what that's like to be like, wow, someone just catch a ball and run into the end zone. But I really think it's going to be a mix. And then the Nebraska offense looked best, honestly, when you had both quarterbacks in some form or fashion against Ohio State to start the season. And then immediately the coaching staff went away from it. I don't know why they do that. There was a couple of years ago that Nebraska against Ohio State pulled out the triple option and went with like the wing backs and everything looked really cool and did it for just like a drive against Ohio State, and we never saw it again. So hopefully this coaching staff can go back to things that look like they work. And right now the things that work is getting both Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey on the field and finding a way to get Wandale Robinson the ball, probably in the backfield. Like, this offense feels broken at this point with not knowing who your quarterback is day to day.
We've seen far more successful coaches through 2.5 seasons at Nebraska, get fired, get run out of town, and have the fan base really turn on them. But Scott Frost obviously has the history, and I'm guessing that gives him some more leeway. When you talk to Nebraska fans just over there in Lincoln, what's your sense? Is his seat heating up at all?
No, it's not. Now, if this was a normal year, where everyone got all of their spring practices in and you got the full fall, and Nebraska faced some attrition like a number of other schools did because of the things where you brought in some decent guys. Specifically, Nebraska lost a few guys from that they signed from a pretty good class out of Florida. And that's hurting this defensive back room, who's had some injuries and had some guys miss part of a game because of targeting calls. So there have been some things that have happened in 2020 that I think give most coaches a little bit more leeway this year. Now, if this is year 5, I think that's definitely heating up a lot more. But in general, I think the fan base wants to give a full 4-year cycle and see what happens through a lot of that. Because even Adrian Martinez, who really is Frost's guy at quarterback, he got the job at Nebraska and then offered Adrian Martinez. So how much scouting really went into that for that class for Nebraska right off the bat? And that's one of your leaders and one of your captains. I don't think it's necessarily heating up, but you're starting to see some people get a little bit more upset with the way certain games are schemed. Run the ball guy peeks out a lot. Just put the quarterback under center and quarterback sneak for the love of God when you get inside the five, because for some reason Nebraska, even when it's first and goal at the one, taking snaps out of shotgun, like those kinds of things are infuriating. And we know that that's not a player issue. So there are some folks that are upset with aspects of the coaching staff and Coach Frost, but him being on the hot seat, I would say, if anything, it's you've turned on the tap water. It's not heating up yet.
One thing that has certainly heated up is Nebraska's adversarial relationship with the conference as a whole. I don't know that it was ever a perfect fit, but it certainly has felt disjointed ever since August, and you know, the decision to cancel football and everything that we all know has happened since then. What does the fan base think of the Big Ten and whether or not it's a good fit for the program?
You know, AD, I think it's generational, and I think this was maybe a little bit generational a decade ago too, is that there are some older folks. Now even myself, like, I graduated high school, and then, like, while I was in college is when the switch happened of conferences, and that was a wild time to be in college as well, just not knowing, like, hey, is my school changing conferences too? And at the time, there were a lot of older folks that said, absolutely not. This is who we grew up. This is our conference. These are the teams, especially the Oklahomas and the Colorados and the K-States and the Missouris. Like, you went through and said, these are the traditional teams that we're supposed to be playing, regardless of sport. Now, there are some younger folks like me, and especially the guys that are coming up right now. Like, think about that. The recruits coming in now, they only really know Nebraska in the Big Ten. So I think it's really generational that the even the college students, whether or not they're a student athlete, is that it's Nebraska in the Big Ten. But with all of that said, Nebraska is definitely, I wouldn't say like the bad boy of the league, but Nebraska is definitely the one who's an outlier. It's geographic, being this far to the west. Like, first of all, you get to Iowa City, and that's basically feels like the Rocky Mountains for someone from Columbus.
Right.
So you continue to go past that, and we're basically Pac-12 country to a lot of the rest of the league, especially when you get all the way out to a Penn State and a Rutgers in Maryland. This is forever away. So that kind of goes into it, that it's not an easy drive to get here from some of the other places. There, I think it's going to be generational for a while that Nebraska feels out of place in the Big Ten, but I think a lot of Nebraskans also are going to continue for years to come to embrace the fact that Nebraska is different within the league and wants to be a little bit rogue while playing within that Big Ten sphere.
He is at @iCalebHenry on Twitter. Give him a follow for all your Husker news. Check out his work at KLIN Radio, where he is the sports director. Caleb, this was fun, man. I appreciate the time as always.
Hey, of course. Good luck this week, AD.
There it is. That was a fun conversation with my guy, Caleb Henry. Check him out, and this should be a fun game on Friday. Hopefully it doesn't come down to another last-second kick, but hopefully it is a 6th straight win for Iowa over Nebraska. We will not have a Hawkeye Nation radio show this week as we are taking the week off for Thanksgiving, but we will have an instant reaction podcast. I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do yet. The game will end, what, 3:30, maybe closer to 4, and then the Hawks tip off at 4 against Southern that afternoon. So I'm wondering, should I just do a joint instant reaction podcast? Should I wait till after the basketball game and do just one long instant reaction for football and basketball? And really, by then, I'll be able to cover 2 basketball games, because I don't think I'll have an instant reaction Wednesday after the game against North Carolina Central. We have basketball, though. The season is starting. I'm excited. This should be a really fun Friday, and I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going to be, and whoever you're going to be with. We will have it all covered. HawkeyeNation.com, Rick Brown, Rob Howe, John Bonenkamp, Anna Kaiser. We've got Lucy Rodine, Joe Hugan, and myself. We're putting out content as often as we can. And we appreciate your support of Hawkeye Nation. Check us out all week and next week and forever. Why not? It's Hawkeye Nation. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Go Hawks.